Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. I'm going to put off reading this passage for just a little bit, just to kind of get your thoughts around what we're going to be reading. But the hymn we just sang, the third verse, more about Jesus in His Word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing His voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. What a precious book we've got here. Don't take it for granted. It's God's Word speaking to us. I'm sure you parents have heard this phrase innumerable times. There's nothing to do. I'm bored. Right? Truth be known, we've all felt that way at times, suffering from that malady of boredom. And we can become bored with anything. Church, school, work, marriage, all these things we get bored about sometimes. That time that Onoa spoke about, that half an hour, just sitting there and praying and reading over Isaiah chapter 40, that was good. We need more of that, folks. To just get alone with God. Boredom is described as the absence of feeling, emotional flatness, lack of motivation and interest. You know, a little bit of boredom probably isn't really a bad thing. Being at leisure, letting your mind wander just a little bit, not being engaged in all that's going on around you. In fact, it's considered a bit healthy, since leisure just requires the freedom to be able to move in and out of consciousness. Of course, the important thing is to move back into it once in a while. But it's all right to just relax and think a little bit. Not be so occupied with everything that's going on. I mean, I just got to shut the racket off sometimes. It gets depressing, really. But there's one study that claimed that on average, American adults spend about one-third of their waking hours bored. I find that quite unusual when you think about how we have saturated ourselves with things that are supposed to prevent that from being bored. Well, how surprising that is. And it's really sad that people are so empty that we have to pay for amusements to occupy us. And that's where Solomon, I believe, was. You think about the book of Ecclesiastes. David's son Solomon wrote this thing. This was a man that as he became king, he asked God to give him wisdom to be able to lead the people of Israel, to lead them aright, he said. And God was just pleased with that request. He says, you didn't ask for riches. Yes, for wisdom to lead my people. And so he says, I'm going to grant you that wisdom. In fact, Solomon was granted with a wisdom that God said is beyond what anybody had ever had or ever would have. And Proverbs and Ecclesiastes is part of that wisdom being revealed to us. But then also, he was granted wealth as well on top of that. Now, the sad thing is, and what the book of Ecclesiastes is about, is at the end of his life, Solomon realizes he's been a fool because he wasted all that God had given to him and consumed it upon himself. And so with this idea of boredom on your mind and the situation that Solomon is in with the wealth to be able to do anything that he wanted to do and the wisdom to accomplish anything he wanted to accomplish, here's the things that he writes. Begin in verse 12 of chapter 1 of Ecclesiastes. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under the heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun. And behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. It's empty vanity. And I'm frustrated, vexation of spirit. Let's read on, verse 15. That which is crooked cannot be made straight. That which is wanting cannot be numbered. I communed with mine own heart, not God, saying, lo, I am come to great estate. And I have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is a vexation of spirit. He's frustrated. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Chapter 2, verse 1, I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad. And of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they did under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. And I planted trees in them of all kind of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and I had servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. And I gathered also silver and gold and the peculiar treasures of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was all my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. He did all these things. He accumulated all the things that he could even imagine desiring. Built things, planted things, assembled choirs and orchestras. He had everything that he wanted. And yet he was empty and frustrated. He was bored. Money's not the answer. It left him bored. Are you bored this morning? Are you bored with God this morning? That's a pretty bad place to be. But we can get there. I've been there. I confess it. Not proud of it by any means, but I've been there. You know, the longer, do you no longer look forward to coming to church? To reading these wonderful words of life? To singing the praises to our God? Eileen had read something about that Shelley Hamilton had posted about her husband, Ron. He hasn't talked in a long time, maybe years, months, okay. Just pretty much, you know, like I say, on hospice care. But just this past week, one of his songs was playing, and he was directing along with it. Even in that state. You could be in that condition. Are you bored? Do you enjoy the fellowship with other believers and speaking to others about Him? Or has the excitement and zeal for God just kind of faded out in your life? Where are you at with God this morning? What's your relationship with Him? Are you bored with it all? Let me define boredom once again. Absence of feeling. Emotional flatness, lack of motivation and interest. We can get there if we're not careful. And I don't know where you are this morning. Maybe I'm the only one that's ever experienced that. I doubt it, but beware. And I'm asking this question, you got to search your own heart and answer to God honestly about your own situation this morning. Are you bored with God? Have you become complacent and inattentive to the things of God, indifferent or negligent to the things of God? Have other things crowded into your life and choked that seed, as you read about in the parable of the sower and seed, that the some was sown on the wayside and the fowls came and grabbed it up before it could sprout. Others fell on the stony ground and it sprouted for a brief time, but then the sun and the heat came and just withered away. But that third ground is the thorny ground. It's sown among thorns and it rises up for a while, but then the weeds choke it out. And that happens in the lives of believers too often times. As we allow those weeds to grow up in the garden of our heart, and it chokes out the word, and while the plant is still growing there, it's unprofitable. Because there's too much competition with the weeds for the moisture and the nutrients in the soil. That happens to far too many Christians because we don't keep the things weeded out in our garden of our heart. Are you bored this morning? A number of years ago, there was a prayer summit up at Calvary Bible Church, and a bunch of churches came to that, and a guy named Matthew Scariah was the preacher for that conference. I forget how many days it was, two or three days, I think. And throughout the time, there were times certainly of preaching and teaching, but then there were also times of applying what we were being taught. Numerous times they would, after some teaching, there'd be a time just kind of like they did down at Timber Ridge this week. Take the Word of God, get alone someplace, and pray, sometimes by yourself, sometimes in a group of people. And the last day, I remember that they broke us up into groups of about 8 or 9 people. And we were to go there and we were to, one by one, confess something to the group and ask them to pray for it. And I was struggling at that time. And I asked for brokenness in my life, because I'd felt my heart had gotten cold and hard, and I just felt that there needed to be some breaking up of it. And so a couple of guys volunteered to pray for me, and they did that, and then we went on through the group, and different ones would say this, okay, I'm struggling with this in my life, and then couple of guys had volunteered to pray for them. And it went around, and it came to one man, the last man to make his request. And if I were to say your name, his name this morning, probably a good number of you would know this individual. And as he began to make his request, he paused. And then when he continued, he confessed that he struggled even how to state what was going on in his heart. And he went on finally, and he said that he was active in his church, serving on the board, and teaching a Sunday school, and preparing his lessons, studying the Bible and so forth. But he confessed he was dry. Lifeless. Empty. And that something was missing. And he said one day his wife had said, if there was anything that excited him anymore. And he said, nope. He was bored. And you know, it was easy. Obviously, it was not easy for him to confess this as he spoke about this, that he'd lost his excitement. He became stale. The fire had faded in his heart. He was bored spiritually. And the thing was, as we, you know, two men volunteered to pray for him and the rest of us praying silently along with that, tears began to come to my eyes as we're praying for him. Because God was saying, that's your problem, boy. And God just broke my heart. And you know, I didn't want to stop praying. That was a sweet hour of prayer that I didn't want to come to an end. And sometimes we get to the point where we're in a hurry to get done praying instead of wishing we could linger longer in the presence of God. And when we lose that desire to linger longer, that's indication that things are starting to fall apart here. That boredom is beginning to set, and that fire is beginning to fade in our hearts. Boredom's a symptom. It's a warning that something's wrong. That we become complacent, inattentive, negligent, indifferent. We let the fire die down. We've gotten away from the coals. And we're bored. It's so easy to lose our zeal, our passion, our excitement. I want you to look at some verses now. Look at Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40. The psalmist said, I waited patiently. Verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. And we're so busy, we're so in much of a hurry in our world today that we don't take this time to wait patiently before God. You know, our spiritual life doesn't work with a microwave. It's an oven that needs some preheating, some preparation, some time. If we're to maintain that fire in our heart that God desires for us to have, to wait patiently for the Lord, for him to incline unto me and hear our cry. Go back to Psalm chapter 27. Psalm chapter 27, verse 13. Psalm 27:13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait. I say on the Lord. And we need to do that, folks. You want to have the relationship with God that you desire? You want more about Jesus? Then it's in His Word, waiting on Him, lingering with Him, taking those half hours or hours or whatever and just get alone with the Word of God. Just pick a passage of Scripture and just read over that and pray over that and read it again and pray over it again. And listen to what God's got to say to you. We're bad about listening. We get in conversations with people and we're so eager to jump in and give our contribution, and we do that same thing with God. It says, let every man in James be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. That's wise in just a conversation with somebody. Listen to what they're saying. You know, I get in trouble with my wife sometimes because I jump in and say something before she's done talking. And then I get that brown disposition. Deservedly so. But we do the same thing with God. God says, let me talk to you. Son, let me show you what I got for you, what you need right now. This world will never satisfy. Solomon is the perfect example of that, because he had everything that any human being could ever want. It was all available to him, and he says, I partook. Look back at Ecclesiastes again. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Verse 13, he says, I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are under the heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. All of it. And he went on and talked about all the things that he'd done and all the things that he experienced and all the things that he accumulated. And the end result was, it's all vanity and vexation of spirit. I got no satisfaction out of it. He was left empty. You know why? Because he was seeking the wrong thing. Keep your finger here in Ecclesiastes. Jump over to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. As this chapter, it focuses upon, you know, that you've gone through the seven churches of Revelation and chapters 2 and 3, and this chapter opens with a door opening in heaven. So what's in view at this point is what's going on in heaven at the beginning of the tribulation period. And it comes down to verse 11. It says this, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. That's as he sees this vision of heaven and these creatures up there, and this is what they proclaim. You're worthy, God. It's all Yours. And for Thy pleasure we are and were created. You weren't created for my pleasure. I wasn't created for my pleasure. Our purpose on this earth is for the pleasure of God. And we get We lose sight of that sometimes. Your purpose for existing is to bring pleasure to your Creator. Think about it just in maybe a more practical sense. Probably some of you, many of you, are getting ready, maybe even started planting a garden. Is that garden being planted for the pleasure of the garden? No. That garden's being planted for the pleasure of the planter, the Creator, right? We're God's garden. We're to serve Him, just like that garden is to serve us. That's the purpose. That's why it's there. And when those critters come into my garden, I'm going to kill them. And when those weeds try to grow in my garden, I'm going to rip them out. Because that's for my pleasure. That's why God created us. Solomon, in all of his wisdom, and all of his wealth, lost sight of that. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12. He wrote this book to his son. He's at the end of his life. He says, I've been a fool. I've wasted it all. All that God gave to me. And he's writing this to his son to warn him to not be the fool that he had been. And he comes to chapter 12 and verse 1, and look what he says. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Because that's where Solomon is. He looks back and he says, it's done nothing for me. It's all empty. It's all frustrating. Vanity and vexation of spirit. And he says, son, don't waste your life. Young people, don't waste your lives. There's a lot of things out there that look attractive to you right now. Well, I can't wait to get my driver's license. I remember that. I know it's been decades and decades and decades ago, but I remember that. I can't wait to get out of school. And then I spent 6 more years in school. But you know what? Nothing will satisfy you like God. Remember now the Creator. In the days of thy youth. Young people, set your sight on something that's going to please and honor God with your life. And let God take care of the other things. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart, it says in Psalm 37. You look to God, and he'll add what you need. And remembering, this life is not the end. This is not where the reward is. And sometimes it gets tough here. But go down to verse 13 of Ecclesiastes 12. As he wraps this book up, he says this, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. So this is his final statement on the subject. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You can hide things from your parents. You can hide things from your spouse. You can hide things from the rest of your family. But there ain't no way you're going to hide it from God. And one day it's going to come out. And so Solomon says, you fear God. Because you're going to stand and give an account to him one day. And oh, that we could do that accounting with, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy kingdom. Not, thou wicked and slothful servant. Take from him that hath the pound and give to him that hath 10 pounds. The one meager thing that that wicked servant had got taken away from him. You want something for eternity? Give your life to God now. Amen. Serve him, because he's the one we're going to answer to one day. Happiness and joy, contentment and peace are all found in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's where it's at. Responding to the call of God in your life. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. Second Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God's got a calling for your life. Well, I don't think God wants me to be a preacher. Maybe not. But maybe he does. But what, there is some calling that God has upon your life. If it's nothing more than to give pleasure to God, as we read in Revelation 4:11, that's a calling of God. That's God's purpose for your life. And if you're not fulfilling God's purpose, you're disobedient. And it's all vanity and vexation of spirit. He says, who saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. Before the world began, God knew you before he even created this thing. And he already had that purpose determined for you. This is what I want you to do with your life. It's our choice now whether we fulfill that purpose. Look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. Colossians 1:10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. If you're bored this morning, that boredom can be overcome by renewing that passion for God, by renewing that devotion and dedication of your life to the things of God. There are some things that God has made clear he desires for us. To communicate with him, to spend time with him in prayer and in his word and in fellowship with other believers and in speaking to the lost about their need of Jesus Christ. And if you've deviated from those things, that's probably a good reason why you're bored. You've lost that zeal, that excitement for Jesus Christ in your life. Look at, let's finish with Romans chapter 12. The Apostle Paul, I believe, was a man who truly gave his life completely to be consumed by Jesus Christ, to live almost wholly, if not wholly, and completely for the pleasure of God. And as he writes to the Roman believers, he said this in Romans 12 and verse 1, I beseech you, as I'm begging with you, I'm pleading you, brethren, by the mercies of God, for what God has done for you, the forgiveness of sins, the deliverance from an eternity in hell, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice placed on the altar, just like Abraham placed his son Isaac. Here it is, God. Use it however you want. Whatever you want to do with this life of mine, God, it's yours. Because I'll just mess it up. I'll just consume it out of my own lusts. I'll just waste it. But a sacrifice to God's not wasted. A living sacrifice. Number one, that's holy. Amen. Number two, that's acceptable unto God. Number three, that's your reasonable service. That's not even above and beyond. That's just the basics. A reasonable service. In light of the mercies of God and all that He's done for us and all that He's given to us, it's only reasonable that I give my life to Him. He gives you the air that you breathe and the ability to breathe it. He provides the sun and the rain for the crops that grow, that feed you, and the ability to eat it. Our entire existence is from Him. It's only reasonable. And He's finished with verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, and watch this, and perfect will of God. Folks all the time talk about, well, what's God's will for my life? Right there. It's pretty simple. Well, yeah, but no. You start there. And you take care of that, and everything else falls into place. Whether it be your future spouse, a job, or whatever the decision is, if we start with, I'm yours, God, do with me as you please, that will prove that perfect and acceptable will of God. That good, perfect, acceptable, perfect will of God. Amen?
Amen.
Stand, please, for prayer. Lord, I pray that you'll stir us with these words this morning. Renew the fires in our hearts. Stir us, God, to a greater devotion to you. God, don't let anybody mistake here that it's for me they're doing it. God, it's got to be for you, for your pleasure, for your honor and glory. And ultimately, that when we stand before you, you will be pleased to greet us with well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy kingdom, where there are pleasures forevermore and the fullness of joy beyond what we have experienced here on this earth. God, speak to the hearts of your people this morning. Stir each of us. And Father, if there be any here this morning that have never trusted you as their Lord and Savior, may the Spirit of God make it clear to them how much you love and care for them and all that you've done, and that they, by simply trusting your word, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, confessing your sins to him and receiving him as Lord and Savior, they can become a child of yours this morning, right now. So work in the hearts as you see the need, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'd like you to turn to number